You're listening to KNKX. Most people who use heroin as their main drug want to reduce their use or completely stop. That's according to a new report released by the University of Washington's Alcohol and Drug Abuse Institute. It also shows methamphetamine use is on the rise throughout the state. The results are based off a health survey conducted at 18 syringe exchanges across Washington. Kayla Banta-Green is the lead researcher for the report. He tells 88.5's Ariel Van Cleve the information gathered through this survey, as well as previous questionnaires, helps shape the way people with drug use disorders get treatment.
Who are these people who are using? Can you describe what you found out as far as the demographics go?
About 40% of people at syringe exchange who were surveyed were women. I think a lot of people don't realize that. A very large proportion are women. And about a third are under the age of 30. About a third are in their 30s. Mm-hmm. And about a third are 40 or older. So they're kind of spread across the age span. Pretty representative of the racial ethnic breakdown around the state. You know, we certainly saw Native Americans and Latinos, African Americans, a majority Caucasian, of course, but we really did see quite a bit of diversity. And only about a third of people were permanently housed. About a third were homeless, and about a third were impermanently housed. 39% had been incarcerated in the last year. And we also asked people, have you needed medical care in the last year and not received it? And 59% said yes.
59%?
59%. And their main two reasons were that they didn't trust doctors and or they felt stigmatized and yelled or blamed at by doctors. They weren't comfortable seeking care in that setting.
Does that rationale right there kind of play into why some people maybe don't seek treatment? What kind of responses were you getting from people when they said, I would like to get into treatment to stop using, but here are the reasons why?
There were a lot of different reasons. I mean, a big deal was just sort of the chaos of being homeless and the fact that most treatment right now, and this is changing, but most treatment right now, you know, generally requires that you have to show up for a couple of appointments at set times and set places. And if you're homeless and in the middle of active addiction and maybe have mental health issues and don't have transportation, that's not going to happen. So the real implications for that are, well, why don't we put the services where the people are connecting? And where they are connecting is at syringe exchange. So in the Seattle area, exactly a year ago, a low-barrier buprenorphine program was co-located with a syringe exchange. The preliminary data from that syringe exchange-based buprenorphine treatment program, where basically people could do drop-in hours, see a nurse the same day, and usually get prescribed medications that same day, that program is serving 3/4 homeless folks. And that local program was pretty much full in about 12 weeks with people lining up 2 hours early. To say that people don't want treatment is not correct. If you build the right types of services where people are, they will access those services.
What have you learned from the survey that could potentially tweak what you're doing now into the future?
I think it's really important to understand that although we're doing a survey at a syringe exchange and we might think that drugs are the most important thing in a person's life, they often aren't. Their concerns may be much more around losing their kids, their health care, being homeless. Those may be the bigger priorities. And I think what we really need to do is recognize that these are human beings. And one of the things they're doing is using substances. And they're using substances even though they know it's having negative consequences because they're getting more benefit than harm.
Mm-hmm.
And that should tell you something about what's going on in their lives. And so I think where we're really trying to go is to rethink how we provide care to really vulnerable people. But I think we're also talking about not seeing addiction as this unique stand apart piece of care that's over there, but is integrated into care.
And you've been in this line of work for a very long time. And in the last year, there's been more talk about opioids. There's now a national emergency that's been set. Also, Governor Jay Inslee is talking about a public health crisis for the state of Washington. Maybe there could be a potential for just exhaustion about hearing something like this. What kind of work do you do in order to keep that from happening?
The way I think about it is that the attention will go away on this issue eventually. So what we're really trying to do is lay a foundation over these next couple of years where we have a spotlight on this issue that will last for a generation or two. This is not a problem you fix. It's a problem you manage. And so the three-part plan to do that is to make sure we have good treatment capacity, but to also do what we're doing right now, which is to try to destigmatize both this condition and the various treatments. Substance use disorder is a medical condition. And when we're talking about opiates, it involves physical dependence, psychological disruption, really primarily craving and preoccupation, becomes the most important thing in your life, which leads to complete social chaos and dysfunction. You can manage the physical dependence, often with medications that keep a person physically dependent, and that can help get a person able to attend to and deal with the social and psychological problems. When those things are squashed, then a person is in recovery. But these are chronic relapsing conditions, and so we need to develop sort of awareness that these things are treatable, and we need to build that treatment capacity. And then the big piece we're also working on is really about connecting people to care, so that they don't have to go manage these incredibly cumbersome healthcare systems that we have.
That was researcher Kayla Banta-Green speaking with 88.5's Ariel Van Cleave. Details about the health survey are available at knkx.org. We're going to hear more about how the Northwest is coping with the opioid crisis on our show Sound Effect. The show airs Saturday mornings at 10 on KNKX.